Our names were written down in the book of life before the world began. Isn't that correct? Isn't that what God's word says? Well, that means that everything that is created, everything that has come to pass, all the ticking of time, because of His long suffering, has been for you and for I and for all of God's children. Isn't His love wonderful? I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the 4th chapter of Ephesians, if you would, please. On the eSword program I have on my computer, it's the newer program. It's not like the old one where it just has God's Word. Every so often they put a little statement to describe what you're about to read in scriptures, and in what we're about to read is something called New Life, according to that headline, that heading of the scripture. And I thought, well, that's a good title. New Life. You ever heard somebody say, man, I just want the world to see Christ in me. I want them to see, I want to be able to portray. I want to walk through this world, and I want people to see how the love of God is in me. I want them to see Christ in me. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, and people didn't see Him for who He was then. Why would anybody expect that people of the world would see Christ in them? To me, it sounds like somebody who would go out in the middle of a marketplace with their Sunday clothes on, and or robes, their priestly robes, whatever it might be, and then they get down on their knees and they pray in the middle of the marketplace so that everybody can see how godly they are. That's kind of what that statement, I want to see Christ in me. That's what it comes across to me anyway. I don't know how the Lord may give it to you, but that's what I see. We looked at these verses in our Friday night study, just this last one, but this morning I would like to expound from them a little deeper than we had time to on Friday night. The question was kind of looked at, brought up, how should I walk before men? I mean, what is this walk that we're looking about here? These words of instructions on how to walk. What do they mean? I mean, Don Fortner had brought out in his study on how there are those who go out and do that very thing, pray in the marketplace so that people will see them. So people will see, oh, look and see what kind of person this person is. And we thought about, well, you know, do we really do that? But we may not go to the marketplace, but folks, we all want those in our lives at some point or another or somewhere or another to see us, to see what's in us. So we do act in a way for people to see us, for people to observe from us. I want my wife to think better of me, so I try to act better. I want my children to think better of me, so I try to act better for their sakes. I don't care what Joe Blow down the street says. I don't care about him. I'm going to do what I think is right. I'm not going to act in a certain way for him, but I am going to act in a certain way for my children, for my mom, for my loved ones. How should I walk before men? The world does not see Christ in any of God's people. Listen to the words, and these are familiar words. We refer to them often. No doubt that you could probably just about quote these words exact. But in John 10:23, our Lord is very clear about something. 23 through 27 of chapter 10. He says, And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, now listen to this, they said unto him, they spoke to God Almighty in the flesh, the very one that some people want to portray to be in their life. They said, how long do you make us to doubt? He stood right before them. They couldn't see him. And our Lord answered, and he said to them, I says, I told you. And he did too. He came right out and told them, my Father and I are one. There's only one God. Three distinct persons, absolutely. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but of one mind. You cannot worship God the Father unless you worship God the Son, God the Spirit. You cannot worship one and not the other two. I told you and you believe not, he says. The works that I do, he went on to say, in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Nobody else could heal like the Lord Jesus Christ was healing. Nobody else could commit the miracles that the Lord Jesus was committing. They even came to the Lord Jesus and said, we know that you're a man of God because no man could do what you do. But they did not see him as God Almighty. And then our Lord said this to those unbelieving Pharisees. He says, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Is there a difference? Is there a difference in our walk before men? Absolutely. When the Lord of everything that is, and as we saw in Bible study this morning, He is Lord of all. Not just this little piece, not just that little piece over there. He didn't just set the world out there and say, okay, let's see what happens. Our God rules over everything. Absolutely everything. And when the Lord of all it is takes up residency in the heart of one of His loved ones, He makes them to differ. Before God worked in your heart, was there ever a thought of chance? Maybe if I'm lucky. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'll win the lottery. Maybe if I'm lucky, I won't get ran over by a horse today. Maybe if I'm lucky. The world is no longer a place of chance to a born-again Christian, to one who has been enlightened of the truths of who God is. It's no longer a place of maybes or a place of luck. Now I know we struggle with things of the flesh. I too occasionally will be caught saying, boy, that was lucky. Did you see that? That ball went right down the middle. I know it wasn't me because I don't hit that well. Or any other thing that you can come up with that you might say is luck. A true child of God with the Holy Spirit dwelling in them sees the world much differently. We see it as purposed. The ticking of time as purposed by our God who is long-suffering. Thank you, brother. You know, God, once again, this is what, the third time today we see where our Lord has done something in our lives that none of us had knew the other person was going to talk about. Bill came in this morning talking about how the Lord called people that, you know, what does it mean for Him that He is the Lord over heavens and earth and under the earth? And we talked about that for a little bit. And then we looked at that in the Bible study. And here Mike sings this song about ticking and how it is purposed for him. It goes right along with the message. How often do we see our Lord do those wonderful things in our lives, shine Himself in our lives? It's all purposed by Him. How else could we read Romans 8:28? All things are for the good to them who love God, who are loved of God, who are called. How could you read that and believe that if you don't believe that God rules over everything? How could those words mean anything to somebody who thinks that there's still a chance or that there's still something left in my ability for me to decide on? Everything that has come to pass was purposed by our Creator. Nothing just happens. God didn't create the worlds and say, okay, let's see what's going to happen next. And to prove that very point, to prove that point to those who may still doubt, does not our Lord know every hair on our head? Think of that detail. Why would God put that? Who cares if God knows every hair on my head? I'll tell you who cares. I do, because it shows me that He cares about every little detail in time for John Reeves. It tells me He knows every little detail in time for every one of His children. It tells me He knows every little detail in time for everything. It proves to me that His purpose shall stand. Nothing can get in the way of my Lord, my God. That's peace. That's eternal peace. Peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of all glory is a God of detail. Every last one. Who can turn His hand? He is the potter, as we read in our Bible study. Everything else is but clay. And when this truth is revealed to a poor sinner, one who knows, who has been brought to know what we deserve, one who has been brought to know what our weaknesses are, then we cannot walk in the ways of the past, for we have been made a new man, a new creature. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As a born-again child of God of the Most High, we clearly see His rule in everything. I was sharing a story about two co-workers. They were getting ready to go home from work. And I could share many other stories, but this one is freshest in my mind right now because it was just recently shared with me. They were on their way home from work, and one is a stressful person who needs to vent. And the other one saw his need to vent. He'd had a rough day. So he stopped and took 5 minutes. 5 minutes of his time to hear this man vent. And then as he went home on his way all the way out to Roseville, he got off the freeway. And 5 minutes before he got there, there had been a 3-car pileup. Now, I can tell you a whole lot of stories just like that, because I can tell you stories about myself in the same way. But I thought that was a pretty good one. He gave God the glory that because God had delayed His time because of the red light, because of all the red lights that built up. The guy sitting in the driver's seat said, well, God got something going for me there. Even though the guy next to him, me, is screaming, we're hitting every single red light. Can't we hurry up a little bit? Folks, the ticking of that clock back there is governed by God Almighty. And the face of God Almighty can be seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. His only begotten Son. We give our God glory for everything, including our trials and our troubles, our weaknesses, for those very things are what bring us to the point where we have no place to go but to our Savior. One of the wisest things my mom ever told me, and I love this woman, that's a story for another time, but she came to me and I was troubled, and she said, John, You take that trouble in your hands and lay it at the feet of the one who can do something about it. Because he's the only one. These are the words that I hear from our brother Don Jukic, who is facing the trial that he's about to go through. My troubles, I need to lay at my Savior's feet. Blessed is he who blessed me with this wife. Blessed is he who blessed me with this world that I've lived in. Blessed is he who has taken care of me all these years. Blessed is he that will take me home. We give our Lord glory for everything. For in our weaknesses, he is made strong. Is that not what scriptures tell us? Oh, how I desire. Oh, how I desire to walk righteously before my Lord, to walk pleasingly, just to please him. Not for any reason that's going to save me, but so that I can please my Lord. You see, I happen to love him because he first loved me. And I want to do what pleases my Lord. I desire to walk with a righteous walk. Oh, how I wish to go forth and to sin no more. Can you relate to this part though? I trip. I stumble. I err. I don't trust as much as I wished I did. I don't believe as strong as I'd love to believe. I think more of myself than I should. I do things that I shouldn't, and I don't do things that I should. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at verse 17 with me, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, writes Paul, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. John Gill wrote this, and I can't put it any better, so I'd like to read for you what he wrote. Every natural man walks in a vain show. The mind of the unregenerate man is vanity. The word vain means emptiness of mind. Emptiness of mind. Or made up in imagination. You see, that's what man is, thinking of themselves higher than what they are. It's an imaginary thing. In reality, we are but worms to God, created for his purpose. It's made up in imagination. In this case, goes on John Gill, it's being naturally destitute of God, not knowing who God is at all, therefore coming up with a knowledge of your own out of fear, not knowing the fear of God or the grace of God. And of Jesus Christ being empty of knowledge of him, faith in him, and love to him, and of the spirit of his graces. It also points to this instability and the changeableness of the human mind, in which sense, at his best estate, was altogether vanity. Isn't that what scripture says? John goes on to write, as also the folly, or the falsehood, or the wickedness, of it in his fallen state, and the mind discovers its vanity in its thoughts and its imagination, which are vain and foolish. End of quote. Now look at verse 18. We just read how Paul is saying, therefore I testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles and walk in vanity of their mind, having this, now he's describing that, walking as other Gentiles, walking in vanity, having the understanding darkened by being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now remember, we're talking about a new walk. We're talking about a new life. We no longer walk in that old life of blindness. The unregenerate man cannot know the things of God, for we come into this world, into this life in darkness. One who is spiritually dead cannot know spiritual truths, can they? We don't just decide that all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to be smarter today. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to start doing the things of this. I'm just going to be smarter about things. I've been dumb for all those years. For 40 years, I've been ignorant. Foolish. Our Lord says in Romans 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. A wise woman once said to me this. She said, you can't expect those who don't know the Lord to act like they know Him. And I would add this. I know the Lord, and oh, how weak I am at acting like it. Look at verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Pretty simple statement, huh? We who once walked in the darkness of our natural state had once given our very selves over to our own lusts. Was that not the case with you? Were you not driven in your life to follow your desires? I know when we use the word lust, people want to tend to think that that can be something pornographic. But that's not what it's talking about. Lust are desires of the heart. Oh, how I desire to be thought of better by men in the world. That's why the guy got down and kneeled and prayed in the marketplace so that people would see how much better he was. He wanted to be, as John wanted to be, better seen of those in the world. Once we walked in darkness in our natural state, and once given our very selves over to our very own lust, we know this. Why? Because God hath in His love healed us of our blindness. We now see the color blue, the truth of our wickedness, the truth of our depravity. Look, hold your place here in Ephesians 4. We'll come back to it in a minute. Turn over to the left to chapter 2, if you would, for just a minute. Again, very familiar words. But do we not see how this was part of our lives at one time? Chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm going to take the italics out because I think it is read better for this purpose here. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the child of wrath, even as others. A child of the true and living God is one that has been brought from death unto life by the grace of God, by the grace of the Almighty. Go back to your text there in Ephesians chapter 4. It is by His grace that we see the truth of who Christ is. Do you see Christ Jesus as God Almighty in the flesh? It's because of His grace. That's not something that comes to the natural man at all. We have to be brought to that point to see Him for who He is. It's by His grace that we see the truth of what He's done. Have you seen the grace of God in walking perfectly in your stead? Establishing a righteousness for each and every one of us? Folks, there's no other way to be with God for eternity unless we're perfectly righteous. And there's only one way to be perfectly righteous, that's to be in Christ. And those who were in Christ before the world began, and all time has been ticked-tocked along just for them. Just for our brother Mike, just for me, just for you.
Yes, sir.
If God be for you, how can anything be against you? That includes time. It's by our Lord's grace that we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, I think I've still got it marked here. I do. Listen to these words in Revelations. Oh, I'm going long. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And then I'm going to jump down to verse 6 where it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song." A new life was in them. "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and that redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests." And then he says in verse 11, "I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." It's by His grace that we see Him where He is today, making intercession for each and every one of us. Yes, I got mad because the lights were all turning red on me. No, I don't want to get mad for stupid reasons like that, but I do. Thank God that my Lord has done it perfectly for me. Now look at me back in our text, verses 20 through 21. Of Ephesians chapter 4. "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former walk, the former way of life, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Did I go too far? I did. I said 20 and 21, and I went too far. In John chapter 6, 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." I ask you this morning, have you been taught of God? If so, then you know that those words, these words of His, the word of truth, to be true, for they are true in your heart. Listen to the words of John, chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I tell you this, that if God, if you are taught of God, you have been taught of His grace. You've been taught of His love for His chosen people. Not a love for the whole of all mankind, as many wish in their vanity, but unto us. His love for us. His love for His people, which cannot be turned. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us, not to unto the whole world, but unto us, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hath in these last days, speaking of God Almighty, spoken unto us. Did you know that in the days of Israel, God's oracles weren't given to the world, they were given to Israel. And you and I are the Israel in the spirit. We may not be of the flesh, but in the spirit we are. Hath in the last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Where does faith come from? It's a gift of God, right? Isn't that what His word says? 2 Peter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through our lust. Folks, knowing these things, knowing these truths, should we not have the greatest desire to walk as children of the light? Now look at verse 22 through 23 of Ephesians 4. That ye put off concerning. This is Paul admonishing, encouraging the Ephesians, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former way of life, the old man which is corrupt according to the spiritual, or according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have you thought about this, the renewing of your mind? Folks, it's not something that just happened one time. It's something that continually goes along. Until the Lord takes us out of this world, we will battle this flesh with the spirit, and that's all there is to it. Our mind must be renewed daily. It's an ongoing occurrence with the child of God. God's grace is renewed minute by minute, second by second, fresh as the dew every morning after morning. As those who once walked in darkness, we see His grace renewed over and over and over again, praising Him for His love for us and undeserving people. Praising Him for we who have received His mercy. Now look at verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What is your righteousness? What is your holiness? This is the new mind in a child of the Most High. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my holiness. We desire to walk in righteousness and holiness, yet it is our substitute who has fulfilled all things for us. Salvation is of the Lord. Philippians 3:13 and 14, we read this, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A new life. What is the new life in us? It's Christ in us. It's looking to Him for everything. Depending upon Him for everything. Some of us, it will take a little more time to get us there. Thank God for the tick-tocking, huh, Mike? Thank God for His long-suffering for His people. Thank God for His long-suffering for me. Look to Christ, folks. That's the best thing I can tell you. Look to Him. Amen.